Hey, Jackasses, and whoever else is listening to this episode, if we have any new people, it's Jack Andy here. We have a new podcast we're doing, and we want to introduce you to the first episode. Anyone that's watched Squid Game, you can check out our Squid Game podcast that we have. It's a You Don't Know Jackie View on Squid Game. So that's going to be playing next now. If you like it or if you're into Squid Game, you can go find us, search Squid Game or Squid Game Podcast, wherever you get your podcast. You can also look up probably You Don't Know Jackie. It should show up with our regular show. Corey, do you have anything to say? You want to tell them to follow Let's Talk AEW?
I know. I think you did a pretty good job on that, but this is a really interesting and new fun campaign that we're doing. And hopefully you guys enjoy it and join us for all of our different shows on the FanDuel Network.
Yeah, thanks. I hope you like it. We hope you do enjoy the epi.
We are the 456.
I don't understand.
Oh, God. You don't, understand? Oh, no.
Oh, no, I do. I get it.
Up on the board, sir. There are 456 here. Oh, look, that means you were given the number one. And I'm the last.
I know that too. I'm just counting the numbers.
It's already done.
You don't know. Squid Game.
Ooh. Welcome. For anyone that doesn't know, this is Squid Game Podcast. And we are usually on a podcast called You Don't Know Jackie. That's Corey, Jackie Rachel, we'll still call her, and Brandon, or Jackie Brandon. I'm Jackie Andy. And we decided to do a podcast following Squid Game. So I assume you're probably a fan if you're listening, or maybe just a fan of us, but this is season one, episode one of Squid Game. Red light, green light.
Green light. Red light.
When we go through, we might have varied opinions. I've sort of heard a little of Corey and Brandon's, have not got one response of what Jackie Rachel thought of Squid Game yet. So I'm going to take you guys into the episode. If you find any, you know, if you just like Squid Game, or if you like us, you can also check us out of the other You Don't Know Jackie, our regular podcast. We cover a bunch of different topics. We'll get into that later. You can find it everywhere. Corey also, if there's wrestling fans, he has a wrestling podcast. So that's, which one do you want to promote, Corey?
Let's talk about AEW.
So let me do it for you because you already said it wrong.
Doesn't know his own podcast.
Yeah, it's just gonna be Let's Talk About Elite Wrestling, or Let's Talk AEW. Okay, well, moving on. We'll discuss that later as well. But we know you're here for Squid Game, so let's get into that. Basically, the first episode starts and there's a voiceover and children playing a game, I guess, called Squid Game. So I believe if I'm, you know, when I'm listening to this, that is like the main characters doing the voiceover. I believe his name is Tiang Gihan. So, yeah, I don't know. I had to look through the second time to be like, the first time I'm like, do I like understand what they're doing in this game? I have not played a game like that. Was like, if you're on defense, you can be on 2 feet and you have to stay in bounds, but the offense has to hop around. So it was kind of just like you have to run through, right? But basically at the end it goes, so like if you're out and you don't make it to this whole thing, you die, right? That's what they said.
That's right. You die.
Exactly. If anyone at any point has anything to say, you can interrupt me. I'm just going to, like, you know, kind of go through some different things. But if you have anything to say on on that point. I mean,
did you watch it dubbed?
Yeah, that's the I did not first viewing. I have to watch it original. I watched through dubbed because I wanted to see. And let me tell you, there were some differences. I believe because you know what the problem was the first time I watched it dubbed and with like English. And then halfway through the episode when they actually said something in English and I needed to see the captioning and it wasn't up there. And I was like, why wasn't the captioning there? Even though they were speaking English for one sentence, I realized that it needed to be English CC, closed captioning. So I don't know if the English translation, when you put English, is different than English CC. That's a fun fact for so interesting for everyone who's a fan of Squid Game. What, Corey, you have something to say?
Hey, I watched it twice. First time I watched it without the subtitles in English. And the second time I actually watched it with subtitles, still with the English. I tried at first to watch without just in the net, in Korean.
Yes, with no subtitles. Without just going to absorb it. You just think you're going to absorb it.
What? Like...
Korean with English subtitles, but I don't watch a lot of things with subtitles to begin with.
Yes.
And one of the things I know
he doesn't read either, right? Famously,
I've been shamed into not reading because of.
Oh, Corey, are you fluent in Korean?
Yes. South Korean, not North Korean. I don't fully know how much different that is, but yeah. One of the things that was interesting off the top was that if you're watching in English with English. Subtitles, not all the things that they were saying were exactly the same. I don't know if that always happens or I just realized this time, but there was like certain phrases that they either shortened or changed around.
Yeah, I think that's similar to, right, that's probably what I'm refer like that's probably the similar experience I had, because it's different when you choose the subtitle language English versus English closed captioning. I found that it was different, not very, but there was some things that maybe were different.
Yeah, it was on the English CC, I think it was, not the regular one.
We're going to watch this. Listen, Squid Game fans, Squidders, I don't know.
Squidders.
Squiddy asses, because usually our fans are Jackie asses. So we're going to watch this like every different way that we can. Corey's watching in Korean with no subtitles, just trying to absorb it. But that's the kind of, detail we're getting into. But yeah, so I don't know, I don't know that we have to go too much into the game of whatever these things are. If some, like, there was an Inspector Royale, I don't know if that'll come up later or anything. Then we're introduced to, I guess, current day, and Gi-han is with his mother in an apartment. And there, we find out that he has a daughter. It's her birthday. This and that. Now, I think one thing I found that I was surprised by the acting. It was a little bit, I don't know.
Animated in the beginning?
Yeah, it's like over the top, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Flamboyant.
We probably will do a deep dive after we there's no spoilers. We haven't seen past the first episode, so I didn't want to see any spoiler articles, but I have seen some things that maybe say culturally it would be beneficial to know how like K-dramas are done. So I don't know if that will play into it.
Talking about everyone's acting?
Yes, but specifically the main character, Gi-han.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you watch, and then I watch in English, and he's like a surfer dude. It reminds me of, like, real, even more animated than the Korean.
So I only watched it like dubbed. This is embarrassing, but it took me about 10 or 15 minutes to realize that the show was not created in English. They do a really good job of syncing, like the way the lips are moving. And then I was like, oh, so actually I think I might watch it again with English subtitles, or I could just pull Corey and just straight up.
Yeah. Corey's trying to say he did not do that. He was just, whatever. So,
but yeah, I did. In the beginning, I'm like, okay, most watched show on Netflix. Like, this seems a little over the top.
I know that I famously on the You Don't Know Jackie podcast, we were talking about the show Insecure, and I took the not popular opinion saying that, you know, Issa Rae's character wasn't, I don't know if she was a good person or, you know, and from the beginning of this, I don't know if our main character, of course, every character in all these shows is going to be somewhat flawed in ways, yeah. But I'm not sure, maybe later on the episode.
Corey thinks every character is not a good person, but yeah.
That's a very possible, very good possibility, especially people on this show.
The friends, none of those friends are good people. You want to be friends with them?
But maybe I'm the only one once again, but it took a very long time for me to actually kind of like our main character. And I understand he's supposed to be, you know, a little bit of a degenerate, down on his luck, and there's things that...
Just
a tiny bit. But am I the only one who, at least in the first half of the episode,
Corey, I hear you, and I think, to me, credit to the show, because this guy does a lot of very questionable things, a lot of just bad things, but I think, again, credit to the show, I think they do a good job. In spite of all that, I found myself still rooting for him, you know?
Yes. In the beginning, though, yeah, he's not very likable. He you know, is trying to get money. He's a little bit like, sounds like a little whiny to the mom, like about money and can I get more money for the birth? It's her birthday.
What I got to buy her a present. Living at home with his mother, robbing his mother.
Well, he probably moved back. Birthday. Probably moved back in with his mother, though.
Right. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah. Then when she leaves, he steals her ATM card.
Oh my God. He's jumping up and down. He's ecstatic. I'm like, what is he going to get? Like, he takes her card and I'm like, well, what is he going to do with it? And then, him in the ATM with his friend, like talking at him.
Huh? Oh shit. What did that woman change it to? Huh?
Try her birthday or something.
Her birthday? Her birthday.
You telling me you don't know your own mother's birthday? Any kid said it was that.
Don't say that. I do know. She celebrates it going by the lunar date, meaning it's not the same every year. Use your brain for once.
Then put in the lunar date.
Come on, work.
And then he goes gambling.
Not remember their mother's birthday.
Well, she goes by the lunar date. She goes by the lunar date.
That is pretty interesting, though. So if it's a different day every year, how, like, it's never the same?
I was counting on you to know this.
Yeah. Okay, this isn't like
it's not astrology.
It's not, no.
Oh, okay.
Because something I just learned about the Jewish calendar, that I was given a specific calendar for my aunt's passing because apparently the date will be different every year. Mm-hmm. Which is very interesting to me. I did not know that was a thing, but that reminded me of that immediately. Yeah. I'm like, okay, well, her birthday's a different day every year, so
yeah, so I don't know
how make the passcode her birthday if it changes,
right? But
well, I mean, it was his daughter's, right?
At least he remembered his daughter's birthday
because it was today.
Yeah, it was coincidentally that day.
Yeah, which was June 8th. So what does he do? He decides to go to the horse track. He's losing money, blah, blah, blah. Ends up saying, oh, you know what? I'm going to bet on 6 and 8, the birthday. And wins.
Four million won.
Yeah.
Or 4.5 million, something like that.
Yeah, so maybe around 4,000 if it's 4.5. I don't know. It was somewhere around that if in USD. But, you know, all of a sudden when he's celebrating and saying, I'm going to go, we're going to get whatever you want to eat, go to this birthday. Uh-oh. He's got some loan sharks after him. And he's on the run, bumps into a girl at the track. The causes the loan sharks kind of to catch up with him. They're, you know, we're beating him up in the bathroom, I guess, kind of.
That was brutal. Like,
I have money. Wait, I'll give you this $4 million. And then
the one guy licked his blood.
That was like a little bit much for me. I was like, oh,
with COVID. Yeah. Very.
Well, I think just in general.
I wondered if I was kink shaming again.
No, with COVID. I think with COVID.
But he's like, oh, it tastes sweet. Like, it was like,
yeah, like you're eating and, you know, it shouldn't taste like that if, you know, if you owe me money, basically.
Now, for people who watch this, you know, in just with subtitles and actual, you know, I'm going to screw this up again, with the natural language of the thing, did it seem as campy or over the top with some of these performances? Because with the
yes, English, I just said like, that. That's what I said in the beginning.
I
said it did, and then I said then with English it was even more so. The performance of the actor that was dubbing the voice was even more over the top, probably because they're, I don't know, now this is a show about dubbing, but I would think people dubbing try to do the performance like the actor originally did it. Mm-hmm. So what the person dubbing into English is doing is performing how the actor originally performed.
Right. Because I mean, we'll get to it in a few moments, but when we got to the scene with our main protagonist and his daughter, I thought that at that point I was still watching in Korean, she seemed like, you know, she actually seemed like a pretty decent actress for, uh-huh, you know, for a kid. And then when I was watching it the first time in just in English, it didn't like equate the same way. You know, it didn't seem like the performance was as good. You know, I don't know if that's just other people noticed that, but I thought she was actually really good in her, mm-hmm, limited parts of the show. But then when, like I said, I watched it again, I'm like,
The obviously the main character is the person that stands out the most, and he is very, very over the top. But I don't know if that's, yeah, like a cultural thing, if it was a choice, like, you know, I mean, we still, I guess, have to see how the whole thing pans out.
It's an over the top situation.
When he's talking to his mother, like, you're going to hurt your back. You're going to hurt your back like that. He's like, he's like complaining. Everything he's doing, it's like so whiny. He's like, oh, mom, I need more money. I did
watch it dubbed, and I still thought that scene with his daughter was very effective. It bummed me out.
Yeah, the daughter, I think the open was just, yeah. So when he says, I have money to the loan sharks, it ends up that he realizes he doesn't, and then he thinks back and realizes that the girl that he bumped into must have sold the money from him, pickpocketed him, right? Then it was a little funny, like how hard up for money he is, because when they go to leave, he's like, wait, can I borrow 10,000 won? Like, can I borrow 10,000 won?
But that just goes to show how down and out he is.
Right.
So there's this thing of giving up your physical rights. I've never heard of this before.
I don't know that it's a thing, or is it? Yeah, like when I saw it, I was like, "Is this like so they can sell your kidneys later? Like, are they trying to, you know?"
And then he signs with his thumbprint.
Yeah, which it didn't come out like, it didn't look like you could really get the thumbprint from it, because, you know,
it was all bloody. Like, yeah,
yeah,
it's like a blood oath. I guess that's that type of idea. You know, it's
but does that hold up in court?
Well, I'm pretty sure if you don't pay, he's going to kill you anyway. So I don't.
Yeah, I don't know that, like, it needs to. Like, I don't know why they even need this legality if they're in, like, some organized crime or something. But when he won, he gave the cashier a tip. And that was one of the things that was different in the dubbing thing, because I'm pretty sure he said, get yourself an Americano. And then when I watched it in English with the closed captioning, they had it say something else, like get yourself a little something. So that I think
there's definitely differences when you watch it dubbed and then with subtitles, because sometimes there's not like exact translation, or whoever they chose to translate it kind of interprets it or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the things that me and Jackie Andy spoke about before we actually did the show was, for at least for me, the thing that was a little bit hard to understand at points,
the money, the
difference of the yuan and US dollar. And I guess it's 0.84, like it's a little less, like 9 cents. Well,
it's like 0.00084. So like the 10,000 won is like $8 to $9, like 8 point some, you know, some decimal point.
But then, like, how, like, so,
but
when
I also don't know, maybe if the money goes further there, is that what you're going to say? Because it seemed
I'm going to take us a little bit farther into the episode. So when he's passing by the fish market and the woman gives him the fish and she says, don't stop at the bar. And he's like, oh, here, like, keep the change. And she's like, ugh, like, that was only 12,000 won, like, jerk. Well, it costs 12,000 won to buy a fish.
Well, yeah, I mean, so if 10,000...
$9 or something, right?
Yeah, but Corey, they're not always like they're not thinking in American dollars in their country. They're thinking of however much it
I get what you're saying that it, yeah, but that's how much it is, yeah. That is that it, yeah. Like I get what you're saying because it sounds like a big number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but relatively no, like maybe they only start at, I don't even know what their smallest denomination of bill would be.
That seems strange though.
Yeah, it's just very different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I was, you know, it's you almost think about it differently when you heat, like I said, we don't know what beforehand what the amount translates to, but when you gave the tip, you didn't realize it was like a $9 tip. I thought it was like this guy won, you know, $4 million a won, which, you know, turns out to
be, I guess it just shows how,
and then you're, but all of a sudden you find out he gave her like a $10 tip.
Well,
like,
it probably shows just how cheap he is. Like, okay, I won like, you know, 4 grand. Here, take $10, or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I almost thought about the show a little bit.
I mean, it's not bad. At least it's a tip. Corey doesn't even tip his Uber driver, so.
So true.
Hey-o, let's keep going. So, so he ends up, like, he takes whatever he's got to get his daughter, I guess, a present. He's going, like, a vending machine. And I feel like it's one of those things where you put so much money into those machines with the claw that it's, like, wouldn't have been cheaper to buy a gift you gave, you know?
Right.
And then he takes her... For dinner, they have tabbouki, which I guess it's like a stir-fried rice cake. Sometimes they are made with fish and stuff, but I know she was like, the daughter was trying to be like, oh, no, I didn't need a fancy dinner. It's okay, like, because my stepdad, we got steak.
Steak.
but I like tabbouki better. I like tabbouki better, and trying to make him feel a junk little food. Bit better. But he does bring up something like, don't worry, next year for your birthday, we're going to have the best thing. We're going to get all this. You're going to have the best present. And she did look a little bit like, yeah, the daughter seemed like a little, like something was up, right? Basically.
Yeah, that was interesting, you know, because we find out shortly after that, you know, what was actually on her mind, the fact that she wouldn't be there for the next birthday. But I also think, you know, maybe this comes back later on. I thought the scene when he actually gets the gift with the little boy at the fair, mm-hmm. or whatever it was, and the concept of, you know, in order to actually get something you want, you have to basically focus just on that. And when it came to, you know, basically you had to focus on the actual prize that you're going for, not just trying to win the game.
Like foreshadowing.
Might be something that comes back later on.
A little foreshadowing.
It was cute also. But every time something good happened, I was afraid that something bad was going to, like, follow it.
No, just that claw game scene. I found it very frustrating. I've been there.
Aw, it was triggering.
Yeah.
Well, from that claw game, his present ended up being a lighter gun. So it was a little bit of a funny moment for her to open it and it looked like a gun. And then he tried to put, like, this feminist spin on it. Yeah, what are you talking about?
You're going to need women? That when you go to the army.
Like, yeah, come on.
When you go to war.
Which I think it does show, like, their, you know, connection to each other, right? Like,
she of course. You know. And she's like, oh, I hope you're not using this as smoke. And then she's smelling him and he's like, oh, stop. And you can tell he's very flawed. And she's like, don't let mom see this.
Yeah, so, obviously, right, like, what led to their divorce? Was it maybe the gambling, the debt? Was it some, you know, that he lost his job and, you know, failed business ventures?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, at least for me, like, some of the best parts of this episode, of this pilot, were the scenes between father and the daughter, and then, you know, you saw a couple of moments later with him looking at the picture, seeing that he actually does care for her. I thought, you know, the scenes with our lead character and children, I think really worked really well compared to, you know, some of the stuff we'll talk about as we go along.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like they did a good job of making what you'd think would be a fairly unsympathetic character sympathetic.
Yeah, and then, like, when he showed up, too, it was kind of like the ex-wife, the mother, was kind of, like, getting on him, and you're like, oh, well, he just had this nice moment, it's fine, you know? Like, I don't think anything bad of her, but, you know, it didn't, you don't see her side yet, you know?
Well, right. I mean, right. This is kind of, like, a very classic kind of thing. I think that I've seen it, you know, before in a show, divorced parents, and one is, like, kind of, like, the deadbeat, but they still really want to be in their child's life and they love their child and they're really doing the best they can at that moment. But
willing
it seemed
to risk life and limb potentially.
Not that they necessarily know of, but yes.
willing to get slapped how many times?
Well, that's what comes next. I was like going to try to count and then I like gave up. He goes to the train station. And he finds they did have one challenge elimination where they just slapped each other with fly swatters.
Anyway, oh, here we go.
That was ridiculous thing.
I was wondering this. Do you think this game was rigged for him to lose a bunch and then
I don't know what it was.
I think it was. Yeah, I do.
You would think it would be like almost like a 50-50 type of situation. I don't know. I mean, he got to pick the color. What, it was someone waited or not? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. There's something going on.
Yeah, they played this game, Dai Chi, I guess. Dachi, something like that. Yeah, where basically you have to use one, like, kind of this envelope and you hit it down on the floor to try to flip the other person's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when he doesn't, he can't, you know, he's risking the gambling that it'll be like 10,001, right? Or something, or, well, what was it?
It was 100,000.
Yeah, 100,000, because then he gave him 250s. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He keeps losing, and the guy's like, no, it's okay. You don't have money to pay me. I'll just slap you in the face. And then he wins one time, and he freaks out. He goes crazy. He's, like, so excited. And then he almost wanted to be like, oh, great, I get to slap you. And the guy's like, no, here. You can have the money. Like, do you think he thought, like, we're just playing for slaps or something? Like, it was just pride?
I think
– yeah, that was funny.
I think he had lost so many times in a row, he forgot what the actual bet was. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think one of the things that's interesting, and I don't know if anybody else noticed this.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to do. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
But it reminded me a little bit because of the color of the two envelopes of red and blue, remind me kind of the Matrix. You're taking the red pill.
Or the blue pill, yeah.
You know, and I wonder if that might have been a little bit of a symbolism back to that, you know, making the right choice of what, you know, could or can't be.
Is there a right choice?
For everyone, it's different.
But the guy basically comes and says, hey, you know what, here, let me give you all your information. Your name is, you know, you're 47 year old, Xiang Yihan. You were laid off 10 years ago from this company. Then you opened this restaurant, failed business. This one failed business. You owe 161 million won to sharks, 250 to the million to the bank. So then to go from Corey's things, if you look what that is, the USD, I guess combined, it's somewhere around $350,000. He gives him a business card. He's like, listen, you want a way to make money, I guess, whatever, call this number on the card.
And to me, good, really good storytelling, great way to reveal his backstory, I thought.
I don't disagree with that, but I think it was just like everything with this episode, for me, it felt very heavy-handed. It was just like and I understand, like, I've heard, I haven't seen any other reviews on the show, but I've seen, like, you know, BuzzFeed type of, you know, clickbait type headlines, people saying this is, you know, one of the best pilots ever. And I wouldn't, you know, for me personally,
I wouldn't
agree with that. But, you know, what, mm-hmm. you know, like Grant's saying, plot devices and getting things from point A to point B. was done well, but I just think it was done so heavy-handed at times that it kind
of
took me out.
Well, Corey, consider what the show is about. How much of it is supposed to be subtle?
Well, at this point, do we know that? I mean, but you know,
it was just so intense, like everything. I'm like, oh my god.
But again, I don't, know if this is a culture gap that we're having.
And if you disagree that this is not one of the strongest pilots you've ever seen, all right, Cora, what's the best pilot you've ever seen?
Well, Corey did like the Sopranos pilot.
I think the entire first season, but I think that's a really strong pilot.
I mean, Breaking Bad was a good pilot, too.
Oh, yeah, Breaking Bad's a terrific pilot.
Do you know I had to watch the Breaking Bad pilot 3 or 4 times before I finally was like, all right, I'm going to continue watching the show.
Oh, no. Yeah.
It did not grasp me.
I mean, another really good pilot, not to get down here for like 400 different things, but like Prison Break, which was not nearly as successful show as these other ones. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a very interesting and well done pilot. And like I said, I'm not saying this is the worst pilot I've ever seen, but I wouldn't go and say that, you know, 2 weeks from now or 2 months from now, I'm going to remember everything from this pilot, you know, and I still.
You're going to remember a lot, though, right? It's a fairly memorable show, Corey.
Yeah, I suppose. I'm sort of maybe with Corey on this one, though. But
I think, you know, the odd factor of all the people, spoiler alert, all the people who basically looks like half the people die from a, you know, in a sick kids game. I think maybe you got to remember that.
Oh, sure.
But sure.
Yeah, we're really jumping ahead now.
So good.
I mean, I think you knew. Well, whatever. I'll go through fast things that happen in case anyone wants to say anything. He leaves all happy with his money. He goes and to buy that fish you were talking about. I guess he sees it's one of maybe his friend's mother selling it. He sees the picture, Sang-woo's picture, and he's like, oh, what's he doing? He should pay me because I helped him. I took him to school all this time and he got that good job, blah, 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 blah. So he leaves with the fish. He feeds the cat. So nice, right? Giving cat food, maybe redeemable quality. He goes back to have dinner. I guess dinner with his mom, but he had, you know, because the other thing was, I was like, it's June, right? It's like, it was dark already when he had dinner with his daughter. Like, these are the things that get me, because I'm like, what time is it supposed to be? But I don't even know, like, what time they eat, or, like, you know? I don't.
Right.
Well, anyway,
and you
whatever.
You laughed when you mentioned the cat, but I did think, I made a note. I thought that was a nice touch again. I thought that was, I think it's, I don't know. I think it's good. I thought it worked. I thought it was good storytelling. Good.
Well, I think one of the things that's going to be I think one of the things that's going to be really interesting about these reviews is going to be that for those who've listened to You Don't Know Jack, you're finding us for the first time based on, you know, just the love of this show, is that Brandon is mostly going to look at this from a slightly different point of view than we do as a director, someone who's made different things in art. You know, he's going to look at this most likely from a little different aspect, and some things that we may have either overlooked or found, you know, hidden and stuff, you're going to see from a different point of view.
Corey, it's not like I'm a working director or a professional one. I know a great deal about this stuff.
Yeah, take the
so
compliment.
Outside of, you know, sorry, Rachel, no disrespect, but outside of Rachel, you guys know a lot as well about this kind of stuff.
Sure. No, but you just have a different way about you, I think. Like in a good way,
okay.
You know, in a good way. I think you know, You're definitely looking at it a different lens.
I don't know about that.
Brandon,
I went to school for TV. Don't forget that, okay?
Yeah, so did
I. I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
So did I.
Wait, Rachel, what was that?
I said that, don't forget, I did go to school for TV.
All right.
She may not know any movies or things from past, you know, the year 2010 or so, but she does know about the art.
Now, to me, this is when we start getting, the episode starts getting good. Because he finds out, like, the daughter's going to move to the U.S. And then he says, you know what, I'm going to call this number on the card. Ends up, a van pulls up, this weird thing, what's the password, red light, green light. He opens the van, all the people are in there like, oh, everyone must be tired, huh? Yeah, okay. And then the driver's obviously in a gas mask all day. Unleash the gas, he falls asleep.
It's a stupid question, but how did he not? So I guess he didn't see the driver.
I didn't know if they put on the mask after. I mean, there was a hood on, you know.
Okay, all right.
I don't know. So when he wakes up, He's in this teal tracksuit with the number 456 on it in a room filled with bunk beds, like so high, like I don't know, at least 5-6 bunk beds stacked up. And this is where I go. So you can put all these people to sleep and you got them all like dressed and put up in these bunks all the way up there. Like this is doesn't, I don't understand that. But okay. For the effect of it. Good.
I do want to know, I'm sorry to interrupt you for 1 second.
Yeah, good.
When, because I think Brandon said a moment ago that we all knew what we were kind of getting. I might be saying slightly wrong, but all knew what we were getting to when we started the show. But I didn't see a trailer for this. I didn't even. Okay, my apologies. But I didn't see a trailer for this, so I didn't know that this was a kind of like a Hunger Games or a Battle Royale or those type of movies. So walking into this.
I didn't watch the trailer either.
You know,
but so I made
no idea, yeah.
Yeah, me either. But Jacqueline, you did basically tell me how the episode would end. And I still really dug it.
Did I tell? Well, I don't know. After I saw it, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, I think it's even without seeing a trailer. Like, I don't know if I even just saw an image. I just feel like, I don't know why. I haven't seen Hunger Games either, but it like, I guess maybe the title just reminded me of that. So I just think, you know. Where's it going? I also think people like this. I think it was going to be popular. And I think people like, you know, this sort of like thrilling thing that's going to happen, hopefully, that will keep going.
Well, yeah,
on.
I don't, for sure, you haven't mentioned on the show that this is projected to be the most popular show in Netflix's history.
No, I didn't. And one of a bunch of the actors are getting their like Instagram accounts like blown up, specifically the one girl who I'm gonna address.
If people say she's a bad bitch,
yeah, her Instagram followers like went up, like I think she has, I don't know, when I looked this morning, maybe 13 million by the time this, who knows?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, one of them, of course, You Don't Know Jackie podcast. You know, he has number 456. There's an old man there who has the number 001. And I'm like, oh, so like because he's very old looking, right? And I'm like, is this supposed to be like this guy has like been here waiting for the players to show up? But I think it's just coincidental. They look on, he's like the old man sitting there counting and whatever. He might be like my favorite character. So he's you know, he's like, no, my doctor says I got to try to keep my mind sharp. I don't have much time. I don't care. I want to count. And then the guy, because he's like, well, look, it shows you how many people are here. There's a counter up there on the board. And it was 456, meaning he's the last person in. All right. Then you see there's a fight between 101 and 67. 101 is kind of like this tough guy kind of guy. And 67 looks like, hold on, that's the girl from the train station that sold his money. Did she bump into him and take his money from not the train station, the horse track? So whatever.
Can we quickly talk? Can we quickly talk predictions?
I don't know. At this point, yeah. Said, well, you can say at this point what you thought.
Well, yeah. I made a note. I said I think this woman's gonna make it, and I can't wait to see this guy get his.
Yeah, when you said you made those predictions, that's who I thought you were talking about.
Well, that the girl is in like the picture that if you well, like I watch a lot of Netflix on my phone and it's like she's
I
you
do
can
think
tell
they're,
she's
they're
gonna be a maid.
Yeah, well I think all of them. Well, most of them either they introduce
who lived
them
in the first episode yeah. will be main characters.
Well, yeah, I mean they might die, but I think they introduce people either to kill them or to set up that this is a character that's going to have some kind of story arc.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've mostly met our 5 or 6, you know, key people who might last for, you know, for a while on this show. And, you know, you said like the tough guy, he looked like he was most likely some sort of Korean gangster or, you know, we got her, we got him, we've got, you know, the pickpocket, we've got the down on his luck, you know, gambler, we've got the overachiever, at least we think so at the beginning, the businessman. So I think we've got, you know, some of the characters. And like I said, once again, I can understand why people like this pilot, because nothing that they did do well was give us clear ideas who we should care about. you know, a lot of times some other pilots, you sit there and you're not sure, is this a key player or is this someone that's going to take a while that, you know, we're going to, you know, that we should or shouldn't care about. I think we kind of realized that.
There are, well, ever since Game of Thrones, I never get attached to anybody. I had to learn the hard way.
Brandon? One thing I did like, maybe it might have been the funniest moment of the show to me, is when I thought the protagonist was going to try and help this woman out, and instead he just ended up like continuing to, well, at least verbally assault her.
I mean, I'm sure we'll do it at the end of the episode, but do you think, I wonder how many people are actually going to survive this? You know, I mean, I wonder, is there only going to be one winner, or is there, you know, will we have multiple people that share, you know?
Yeah, I was wondering that. I had that written down for later.
Well, I'm thinking the goal of the show is that there's one winner, but I think my prediction, at least, is that there's going to be a handful of them that they're going to help each other in order to like get through in the end.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that this show is going to have all of these characters. Some of these characters seem like they like each other, or they're going to, you know, be part of a team together, and then they'll turn on each other. And because one of the things that you could see from the show is all of these people have allowed, you know, their worst attributes to go and, you know, make their decisions of, you know, with greed and everything else. And at the end, I think that that's what we're going to see. They're going to see the greed of being just one winner.
Yeah. I mean, I forget if he got shot or not, but somebody was like $1 billion worth of debt. Like, these people are really,
yeah, there were some it. People with, a pretty bigger amounts for sure.
I'm sorry, not 1 billion, one billion won, not dollars, yeah. But won.
No, yeah, there was people with quite a bit and quite a bit more. But yeah, I mean, those are some of the things. I don't know if we should just go through what happens.
I do wonder, I mean, I wonder, you know, they said just like there's 6 games that have to be played. And then, you know, I wonder how much we're
gonna... 6 games in 6 days.
I wonder, one of the things that I found interesting is I think this is a 9-episode series, but there's only 6 games. So you wonder, are there going to be episodes that are just going to be full of maybe just backstory? Or, you know, are we going to have something that stops the games for a while? You know,
is the game just going to take how long, or right, is there going to be in between waiting period between the games and they strategize?
Did you guys not appreciate the sets, the production design, the costumes?
See how you look from this from a different lens. Yeah, no, I mean
it's not that okay.
Yeah, it's you, Brandon. It's your brain. It's your brain, Brandon.
No, well, they show up in these magenta suits, and they mostly have like circles on the face with like a mesh netting.
Yeah. Except
there's one with like a square. Yeah. That's the manager, I guess.
I do think that stuff is cool, and I think that the guy who has it's very like cubism. His mask.
Yeah. I think that's cool too. The front man.
Are you talking about the front man?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You don't think those magenta costumes are going to be a big hit or around Halloween? No.
I'm sure they will. And that's going to be, I don't like that because then you can't tell who people are.
Yeah. It's already around Halloween. Might be quick. Anyway, what they do see, like, they, you know, he does say a bunch of the people's debts, like we brought up. He had, and they see player 218 who we look at, and it's Sang-woo from the picture from the fish shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. And then, like, he thought he was so successful and had this good job, but
yeah, he was on like vacation or a business trip or something.
Yeah, he's in more debt than Gi-han is. He has like, I don't know, I think a total, I don't know if it was like 650 million won loss.
I think it was something like that. I mean, one of the things that I thought was interesting, and I caught this on the second viewing, not the first. And I do think also that watching the second time, I did appreciate some of the elements that Brandon was just talking about with the costumes and the set design when I was, you know, looking closer for maybe things I might have missed the first time. But the idea, I don't know anybody who's, you know, played a Sony PlayStation or any of those, you know, those systems, the PS3, PS5 and all these things. But it looked like all the different face masks, the square, the circle and the triangle are the buttons that are on, you know, the PlayStation remote. And I don't know if Sony might be a sponsor for the show or...
I kind of wondered if later they were going to use that staircase for like chutes and ladders or something.
That staircase is really cool. Brandon, that is something that I noticed. Cause you know, it's first like when the player's like, wow, like this place is giant, like this huge warehouse. And then you see like that aerial view of them walking up and down the stairs. And I was like, that's cool.
Yeah, no, that was a cool shot. I was just trying to save my chutes and ladders comment. the end reveal as well, I guess, is I don't know.
So they're just like in the forest, right?
They're on like a whole island or something.
Okay,
but yeah, it's like covered by, I don't know. Yeah, it's it's one of these like very, very rich people.
I was wondering the same thing. Just like, just how much
does all this cost? A lot. Well, didn't they have these things like, oh, this person's in this bunker, wherever. Like, I've seen that in these, maybe like a superhero movie or something. I was like, oh God. So they tell everyone like, listen, you have one chance to leave and not participate. Then they fill out player consent form. And there's three things on there. So I feel like some of this could be foreshadowing to stuff that's going to happen. So it's one, a player is not allowed to stop playing. Two, a player who refuses to play will be eliminated. And three, games may be terminated if the majority agrees. So that one's interesting to me because that seems even like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that playing into this big time where, especially with my idea, it's saying, you know, 9 episodes and only 6 games. I mean, you could see something on the idea of at some point, you know, they vote to, you know, either stop playing or, you know, something on in that respect, you know. So and it was interesting the fact that you have an odd number of participants, so there would never be a tie if they decided to vote. I think that's, you know, kind of interesting as well.
Okay.
They took all their pictures.
Did no one else love the giant piggy bank?
I did. I immediately was like, oh, the piggy bank, like where they put the money, the cash prizes.
Yeah, and I don't know how it's like accumulating there though. Like, what? How do you decide how much goes in there?
We don't really know that yet because we don't know how much anything is worth.
I know when they said, I know, but that's what it's.
You'll
like,
find out. Maybe we'll find out in the next episode. We got to watch the next epi.
I think it was when they took his picture is another time when it was you kind of likable because he did that cute little smile.
Oh my God. You know? I've seen that literally all over Twitter. I'm like, this guy, yeah. I'm like, why is he so happy? Isn't this supposed to be like a scary, gory show? And I just see this like smile.
He's a nice guy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we'll go with that.
All that stuff comes up on, it's like a room, as they're taking the pictures, a room of screens, another part of the set design we'll talk that Brandon likes, all pop up, the pictures all generate on the floor, there's computer screens everywhere, there's all these people. But also, how much money does that cost to do,
you know? So expensive. Outrageously expensive. So implausible. Spend that disbelief, folks.
This whole thing of like, oh, anonymity for like the people who are running it, and they're like, well, who are you guys? And they're like, oh, nope, we're protected.
Yeah, that's when they, after the pictures, that's when they walk up those stairs. Yeah, and then you see the free man, he gets in the elevator, it like scans his face, lets him in, and then all the players show up to this like giant arena. It almost looks like a bull fighting like arena, right? It lets the doors out. Everyone's coming in.
This is the front man speaking. Preparations for the first game are complete. We can begin now.
The front man, his phone rings, and he's like, they're ready, preparations can begin, or whatever, something like that. Complete, or like, preparations are complete. They can begin.
At this point, up to this point, we don't know, at least, you know, I didn't know that this, what was going to happen in regard to the mass, you know, the mass killing of people. And, you know, of course, we will see the huge doll that's the killing machine in a moment here. But up to this point,
well, you know, they're calling it.
It. Yeah, it.
Did you think that what was going to happen next?
Those players across the finish line without being eliminated within the 5-minute playtime will pass this round. With that, let the game begin.
Green light! Red light!
Player 324, eliminated.
Dumbass got caught.
Was what we were about to see with a...
They said you're going to get eliminated. Yes. The opening of the game said if you are out of bounds or you don't make it to, like, the squid head, whatever, you die. That's right. You die.
Wait, did they say you die before they actually started playing? They just said they were eliminated. I mean,
no, the squid game at the beginning with the kids.
Yeah, Corey, it is very... It's kind of, like, obvious that it's insinuated that you will die.
All right. I
mean, not to the people playing, I agree.
I didn't know that it was going to be like a mass murder, but
I assumed
they were going to die. Yeah.
You watched this thing twice, Corey.
Yeah, but once was just in Korean. And you didn't understand
that. And I mean, come on. It is so friggin' creepy.
That doll?
With its eyes going all around.
Yeah.
So... they start, they're like, yeah, so we're going to play. Like, when it says red light, you have to stop. When it says green light, you can go. Classic red light, green light. So they start, and everyone's kind of confused, except my man, the old man, number 001. He's going. He's having the best day of his life, this guy.
Yeah, he was excited.
He's like...
he did look... Yeah.
He's out on the town. I don't even know. You have again, then everyone realizes, all right, let me start moving. Some people make bets of like, oh, I'm gonna get there before you, yada yada.
Yeah, these two morons.
Yeah.
The first that's, two guys.
And there was a 5-minute time limit also. So it was number 324 and 250. And so 324 runs super fast, but of course, when red light comes, he can't stop. His body's moving, and boom, he goes down. So they only got one person out on that first round. Everyone was already kind of like frozen or whatever.
Do you think you'd be able to, and with everything that's going on in this game, do you think within 5 minutes you would be able to get from point A to point B?
I sure hope so. I mean,
I would be dead in the first.
I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't go run back towards the door. No.
you're dealing with a bunch of psychopaths who are, like, you know, killing people for fun over here. You think they're gonna actually like have the door open so you can get back out? I mean, yeah, that was
I know, and now you're moving and she already said red light. I'm listening.
I mean, that's also, I think, a similar idea, the fact like with our protagonist of the show, when he was getting slapped, he forgot that, you know, if he won, you know, he would get paid. And if he lost, he got slapped. So it's a similar idea of the panic strikes in or the adrenaline. And
no, I understand why people did run away. I mean, I do understand it. Yeah. So I think at first, when the first guy went down, they didn't really notice at first. Like, there wasn't, you know,
his friends like, stop playing. Like, you're being dramatic. Yeah. Like, get
up to him. You're not like, okay. Us.
And then he sees that he's like spitting, like blood is coming, spilling from his mouth.
Yeah. And he's freaking out so much, he's shaking, and boom, he got shot. And that's when everyone realizes that he actually got shot. They see like visibly that he got shot, and they freak out, they start running, and that's when they get most of the people out of this game. I also think like some part of this, so you have even that 101, the tough guy, and 67, the girl from the track, still on each other, like messing with each other, fighting. Like, I think she was trying to tease, like, I'm going to push your head forward, you know, on this, and then they'll act like you moved. I also think as he's trying, like Sang-woo tries to help him, like, oh, maybe get behind somebody. Come on, look at the time. We got to go. There's someone he's in front of, they're walking and gets shot. And I was like, I don't know what kind of bullets they're using, but I just feel like if you're that close to the person and it goes and hits them, it's going through them and it hits you, right? Like,
they're so high powered. How is this? All the blood spurting around. Like, they were using some crazy high powered guns that, if he was sitting directly behind somebody, he would be dead as well. I thought the exact same thing.
Also, is this like computerized? I don't even know how they can find like who moved, you know, each time. Like, I know they
must have like thousands of guns in the walls.
But, and it's just, it's so improbable. I know we're suspending disbelief, but it's like, if people are operating these, like, who was doing this?
Well, you would think that there's like these people are a little shipped or
how
something.
How much money are you being paid?
I would think that, you know, all these people, like, they put a chip in them when they were all sleeping, you know, like something, because, you know, you see that the front man goes and he's seeing on the screen all the each person was eliminated. So if they didn't have something in them to clarify which one is which, I think that had to be something that was like that as well.
Maybe. I guess we would see. We'll see if they'll find some kind of scar on their body. I just think it's just supposed to be like, I mean, their numbers are right on there and someone's in the computer going, that person fell, that person, you know, taking them out. At one point the Gi-han is like, someone's like dying and like holding his leg so he can't move, but he's trying to run. The old man, still, he's like, he's so happy in this. He's just like, he played it cool, he went slow, but he got there in time. They're getting close to the end, time's running out. Gi-han trips and falls over like an arm or a leg that's on the floor, and then number 199 catches him and is like holding him. I mean, the strength of this man.
That was my favorite part of the whole episode. That was like really, really cool.
Yeah, it's like something out of The Challenge.
It is. So he's holding him. And it feels like such a long time too. Like, oh my gosh, just say green light already. And they right under the wire. I was worried that, like, since he was holding him, that, and he was right behind him, that maybe he wasn't going to get across the line in time. It was going to be like, this guy saved me and now he didn't make it. But they both made it. They both made it. They got across. And everyone else didn't, got eliminated.
Well, I think I also think that's something interesting in regards to his character, the fact that it was the exact role reversal of that. He could have really helped the guy who was holding on to his leg earlier. Most likely not, but he went and didn't help that guy. And then all of a sudden, 199 actually saves him by doing something selfless and heroic. You know, there's a difference of those two characters, their motivation, or at least in that moment, what they would do, you know, to help another person.
Right. Well, you're right. Cause it's funny, because what happens if it becomes the end of the game and you have to take, you know, he might be like, I should have never held you up.
Yeah.
Like, what if it comes down to that?
I think it was like an instinct reaction. He's like falling and he reaches around and grabs him.
I agree. But now,
well, that's your prediction. That's your prediction, Andy.
I don't know. I just came up with it right now. I just thought of it right now. But I mean, I could see that happening.
I do think that guy who saved him is going to be like, he's going to make it far, at least in the show.
Oh, I would agree. I don't think
nice guys finish last. He's going to get screwed over. So then, the whole roof closes, and you see that it's like, it becomes part of like the forest, I guess, like hidden on this separate private island is what it looks like, right? Am I right or wrong in this?
Yeah,
you're right. Yeah.
So here's some things, just like, how much do we think is going to be like a real life, like the first half of this episode was, versus the game being in the game, like going forward? Are they going to like, Because it's going to be through flashbacks, or are they just going to stay in the game? Or are they going to bring his daughter in and this and
I
that?
I think we're definitely going to see something of the daughter. I don't know if she's going to come in, but it's going to be like, you know, they can't find him. Where'd he go? Oh my God, this deadbeat dad. You know, he's just living up to his reputation, really, while he's like out there fighting for his life.
Hmm.
I think that thing that you said earlier is going to come into a major thing to affect that third rule in the contract of the mm-hmm. idea of some sort of vote to get out, because mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a lot. I mean, I don't know what you guys think. I mean, if there was 456 people, you would think almost half were most likely killed in that. Sure.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll give us the number of players left, right?
So, yeah. So I do wonder, could that come into effect, the idea that the people who did survive, some of them are going to have second thoughts on the idea of, you know, is the money really worth it?
See, Corey, you're intrigued. You want to know these things, right?
I have to be. There's 9 episodes of this. I got to figure out some reason to stay involved. But no, but like I said, I don't think this was a terrible episode. I just don't think that this was as good as people like Brandon and others are making it out to be. And it didn't.
Well, I haven't really.
Brandon and others.
Well, Brandon basically, you know.
All right, scale 1 to 10, Corey, or how many stars?
Out of 10?
I thought you only do a 4-star. I thought you only do a 4-star scale.
But we've basically gotten to the end of the episode, yeah? So we can.
Well, that's the end. Yeah, now I just have some questions and predictions or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Some of them we did talk about, I guess.
I mean, out of 10, I would give this maybe a 5.5, maybe a 6. I mean, is it something that, you know, I could see getting better? Absolutely. But is it something that I would be, if it wasn't for the show, I'd be running to go and watch the next, you know, 8 episodes? Or is this one of those shows I'm going to binge in one day? No.
But don't you want to know what happens next?
Yeah, Corey, what more do you want out of a show?
Likeable people. No. I don't know. Like I said, my rule's always been when it comes to a lot of these shows, you give something 3 episodes. Because, I mean, I think, which is most people agree with, most pilots aren't great. Like, you know, you have The Sopranos, you have Breaking Bad, Cheers, you know, different things that people have always thought were, you know, classic pilots. But most pilots, you know, people are trying to figure out what they're doing in the second and third episode, and you really get a feel for it.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for, like, sometimes you enjoy certain shows better once you already know the characters. Like, that's what's the difference of a show, you know, the show where you really get to, like, feel like they're a part of your life. So maybe that's why when you look back and you say, what episode am I going to watch? It may or may not be the pilot, I guess. But does anyone,
to compare this to Sopranos or something, it's not fair to talk about.
Okay, so we have, you know, to okay so we have to compare
like,
it
this
to
show
some
is trying to do things that Sopranos and most shows they weren't trying to do.
Yeah,
but I think, one thing I guess I would say on that is, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, I think, yeah, and I understand, like, a Tony Soprano is a very flawed character, and
yeah, I mean, really, Corey, talk about unlikable.
You know, in that
I mean, he's very likable, but super unlikable if you really think about.
Right, but you know, I think that, like, a Tony Soprano or characters from Breaking Bad, different characters, you actually rooted for them and you cared about them. And I think maybe one of the things I'm having a little trouble getting behind this show is that I don't care about our main character, and
you rooted for Tony Soprano, and you did not root for this character whose name escapes me.
There you go.
Gi-hun?
Yeah, I rooted for Tony. I thought Tony Soprano, you know, she showed flaws. He showed that, you know, there were different things, you know. I don't know.
Flaw, of course. Man was a killer.
Like, I'm rewatching and, like, really.
Awful person. An awful individual, Corey.
Yeah.
Is our protagonist in this show, besides, you know, looking at a picture of his daughter for 3 seconds, really seem like that good of a person? I mean,
Corey, you cannot compare the two. Come on.
Rachel,
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Is he a killer? Is he even a mobster or a gangster?
We don't know. It's only been 1 episode. Do you really care about our main character? I mean, I think that's what it comes down
yes.
to. Type of shows. You care.
He's a degenerate gambler.
I want to see him prosper.
But you want to see him prosper? I don't. Like I said, as it goes on, maybe I will. But I don't know which, like, of all the people, of all the characters we've met.
Corey, do you just need people to be like you or something? Like, is it something like you can relate to?
Yeah, you can only relate to perfection, absolutely.
He could have been really down on his luck. He could have got screwed over. He could have been the nice guy, and somehow he ended up being the fall guy. Maybe, you know what I mean? Or maybe not. Maybe the other guy, you know, we don't even know the story to know how this trouble started.
I know you're
I'm guessing it was his fault, but I still root for him.
All right. And I mean, like, I'm sure some of it's coming out of both sides of my mouth. Cause I mean, one of the more interesting characters out there when it came to a pilot was, you know, Breaking Bad. And from that pilot, you know that he's going to get worse and worse. But I found him interesting. I don't know. I just, for me personally, maybe it's the language barrier and some of the dubbing and different things. I just didn't relate to the character, and it didn't like grab me. And I don't, like I said, right now, I don't want to see him win. And him being the star.
Well, I want 67 to win now. Maybe she's got like, you know, like she's got like a Curly Sue upbringing or something. And that's all. She stole the money maybe, but she needed it, right?
Yeah. I mean, she at least seems interesting. I mean, she seems interesting. His friend who, or at least if you're supposed to feel like.
Yeah. I think you're just like going based on.
Jacqueline,
one.
What kind of upbringing did you say this woman had?
We don't know.
I said Curly Sue.
No, you did say Curly Sue. Okay, yeah. Just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
I'm just saying we could find that out. Does Rachel know who Curly Sue is?
No.
No.
Anyway.
No. So. Another movie to hit the list, yeah.
Yeah. Can anyone predict what they think any of the games that they'll play next being that, like, I mean, I'm assuming maybe that, I don't know if Corey, but I don't know. I would think people played Red Light, Green Light.
Sure.
So are they going to have other kids games? Like, I mean, I brought up Chutes and Ladders, I know, but I don't know, like, I don't know, hide and go seek. Are they going to play with giant, like, jacks, maybe pogs?
Oh, God,
I don't know.
That sounds horrifying. Giant like spikes coming out of nowhere and killing people. That sounds horrible.
That right, but also production value pretty cool.
Yeah,
I would love to see
to
like
it.
I would love to see like a really good strategy game. I'm not looking forward to them playing Monopoly. I think like the last
Battleship.
The last game maybe like a musical chairs if you're only going to have one winner. That's how you get there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think they're going to be a little bit more grand, I guess, but I don't know. Do we think they're going to be based on childhood games? I don't know if there's Korean childhood games that are different.
Imagine, yeah.
Well, one of the things that you asked me how I would rate this out of, you know, 10, Rachel, Jackie, Andy, Brandon, what would you rate it? The
second viewing I see how you get into it. You definitely have to suspend your disbelief. There's a little where I'm like, I don't know, maybe 7, maybe 6.5 going into a 7, and it might, you know, get better. I could see it going up. That's what I could see. It was a little bit difficult to like get into, but I like the game. But I think the game is also ridiculous. I think, who has all this money? Why is that what they want to do with all that money? Who are the other people that you're paying to do this and participate in this game? And it's so many people. And then how do this many people disappear and nobody notices? And how did you get them on the island and put them up in a bunk bed, like 10 bunk beds up? Like, but I just have to let all that go. And
well, so Jacqueline, this is what I want to know. It's a projects aren't all that similar, but I was reminded of it. We were talking about that documentary Tickled, and I was thinking about some other films.
Yeah, I wanted to know how you related Tickled.
Well, but this is what I want to know. Do you think something like this could something remotely similar to this happen in real life, guys?
But so are you saying
no,
you don't think Tickled is unbelievable? Like, because it sort of is, but not.
Well, no,
to this.
Obviously not, but no, the opposite.
Right. Corey's Googling Tickled.
I hope this something like this couldn't happen in real life, but I mean,
yeah, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, how could these people, all these people missing? I mean, I don't even think like Soprano, like I know these things happen, but like sometimes it's like with some of the things I'm like, no one gets caught. Like we can just murder everybody. Like tons of people so can be murdered.
Yeah. What is the closest in real life you guys think we can get to this?
I think the idea that you're thinking so hardly about this makes me question our friendship.
What's the closest?
With the murder aspect or just a large scale game?
He's just saying the closest. Like, could you have a game? I mean, I think people could go to participate in something and sign some agreement. And if they died, they died. I don't think that they would get shot just to be eliminated. Right. But if it was that gruesome, like a fight, like a death club, right. Like a fight to the death kind of scenario, I could see happen.
I mean,
I suppose
it kind of feels like the next step of reality TV, where on a lot of these reality shows, you do all these competitions and I mean, you're not going to die, but I mean, that could be the next step of, you know, like the challenge. If you don't finish your course in a certain amount of time, you did. So, I mean,
people aren't, I mean, that's the stakes have to be really high. People, that's what the thing is. How much money is it? They don't even know how much money they're playing for and they just are assuming it's going to be a lot. Do you think, so like it might end up being that the more people that get eliminated, the more money that you get that'll be in that piggy bank. So then
I think that's absolutely what happens. Yeah. That's
right. So, but now you'll see this whole, like, I feel like people, there's going to be these like moral quandaries, ethical dilemmas in like where people have to decide, do I care about this person or do I care about the money? Can I share the money with them? Like, I think that's something that can happen in real life. That's something they did do on the challenge. But, like, you know, deciding if, you know, you want to keep people. And you just said that it had, what, real life. I'm just saying you can have that, like, type of thing on a game show where they say, you know, split the money or keep all the money. FY Island, okay? FY Island, they did that.
You still got to get Brandon to start watching that, but that's another subject.
No.
Take one for the team, more than just Sexy Beast, which I had to sit through.
But anybody have any games they want to see? Or no, I can't think of any. Did you play Red Light, Green Light?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah?
A lot of fun. I think so. What
you think so?
As a kid, probably.
You guys ever play Knuckles or Bloody Knuckles?
No.
I've heard of it. I may have. Yeah, I don't know. Is that the same as people play Slaps? Is that the same thing, maybe?
Yeah. It's like what happened in the show, except you just slap each other until somebody taps out.
Oh, no. I mean, like, it's a thing, like, you know, with the hands, you hold your hands and then you have to flip, like, the person on the bottom has to slap the top of your hands. Or you have to pull away first. What's that game? But you need something that can go to a larger scale. Like, I don't think are they gonna have a giant tug of war? Like, what? Also, I never understood why that's tug of war. Is that what it, like?
That's a game that they might play, depending on how many players are left, maybe at some point.
Tug of war?
Yeah.
You need more spectacle, though. We need more spectacle. Like, see, this one was a good introductory, right? It's a game. It's simple. Everyone knows how to play. We all like recognize it. And it's just this shocking thing. And you're going to have different elements of when the people get eliminated. Tug of war is just like, that team won. Now this team didn't. It needs to be like, maybe you use the basis of one of these smaller games and then bring it up on a larger scale.
Is interesting. I don't know if this is one of your topics, because you saw all of these, especially like in the beginning when they first arrived, people, you know, these people are watching them on screens. Do you think that this is actually like going out like on a pay-per-view type of thing?
This is the thing, like even with like a most dangerous game type of scenario where it was like there were people like willing to also pay and like bet on different players, like, so there's a whole industry, like, then maybe you could believe that like someone's like, oh, all the players are in there, oh, look at this guy smile, Force 56, you know what, I'll take him, oh, this old guy's got experience, I'll take him, oh, 101, he seems feisty, he's probably got a mean attitude, I'll take, you know, they put money on them, right?
Feisty.
So I think maybe that's part of it, right? Like, some rich people are all watching this, but again, I just can't.
Oh, definitely.
How many rich people are there? It's just like, it doesn't. And how many people like this would be their proclivity to watch?
You know, Jeff Bezos mostly is there, you know, watching this on the big screen. You know,
there we go.
Is Jeff Bezos the frontman? Is that who's playing him? Is that who's under the mask?
I don't know. The mask was off when he was drinking like scotch or whatever, but you couldn't see the face.
Yeah, that's something we didn't cover. But
and I mean, because I'm sort of wondering, I did watch it on a small screen, but I couldn't see that much. But do we know like anything about the front man's looks? Or I mean, he was speaking English, so that's interesting, right? Like, was that whoever he was talking to, right? Like, is the clientele? Like, is it, you know?
I was watching it dubbed before I watched.
Maybe the moral of the story is that Americans are evil.
That was in English. The front man, like, part of it was he says it's the front man and like in English.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No, Rachel just brought up a really interesting point there. I mean, the idea of, you know, our protagonist is going to be, his daughter is moving to the U.S. where he won't see her again. And the idea that maybe some of the people who are behind this might be American. You know, so that's an interesting idea, Rachel. That's a really good point by you.
It's a social commentary.
Yeah. Well, I do think there's going to be some pretty shocking things from, I'm trying to avoid any kind of spoilers, but it does seem like it's going to get shocking. And I hope it really even revs up in the next episode. But if anybody listening has any comments or things they, you know, predictions, anything they want to tell us, please don't spoil us though. So this is for episode one. You can email us because we're at youdontknowjackiepodcast@gmail.com. Just put Squid Game in the subject line there. And you know, You Don't Know Jackie, we have an Instagram, You Don't Know Jackie, Facebook, if those things are still up and running, because apparently everything crashed. I don't know. Thanks for listening, and thanks for everybody, Corey, for, you know, putting in the time to watch this and watch it twice and listen to the Korean. I mean, really appreciate it. Really do.
And I would appreciate it if everyone gave a chance to Let's Talk AEW, or also known as Let's Talk About Elite Wrestling, coming very soon everywhere you listen to podcasts.
There you go. He got his plug right. I didn't even have to help him out. Yeah.
Already Squid Gang.
Squid Gang?
Squid Gang. So can I still say, hope you enjoyed the epi?
Yeah, I think so.
Bye.
Do they still don't forget to tip their Uber driver?
Don't forget to tip the survivors.
Yeah. Well, the main character is a chauffeur. Would you have tipped him if you were got him as your driver, Corey?
Apparently, I most likely didn't, because he's in such financial.
Well, because he didn't like him either.
So if you weren't if we weren't doing this podcast, Rachel, would you watch a second episode or was the first?
Like, what did you think of it? Was it too? What did you think of like the blood and the violence?
I'm not like a fan of the blood and gore, but hey, you know, I became a huge fan of Dexter, and that was hard for me to get used to. I was like, I literally felt like I was gonna like vomit after every episode in the beginning, and then I became totally obsessed with Michael C. Hall. So who knows? Maybe I'll develop a crush on the main character by the end of the series.
Did you listen to this whole episode of Squid Game, everyone? Red Light, Green Light? Thank you. Go find us. Squid Game Podcast. You Don't Know Jackie View. search for us, write us a review. We need a new review now. If you left You Don't Know Jackie a review, we need a review for Squid Game Podcast. We appreciate you.
Bye. Enjoy the epi.
That's at the end. They already enjoyed it. They clearly listened if they listened to the whole thing. Unless, did you just scroll forward? No.
Are you like someone on Netflix? 2 minutes and you count as a view?